This morning, I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, as today is Palm Sunday. We've been studying through the Gospel of Mark. We will leapfrog from our current study in Mark chapter 6. We will go ahead to Mark chapter 11. We will pick up with Mark chapter 6 after the holidays. But today, we're in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Now, you think about these passages, these holiday seasons, and as the many years go on in the ministry, you say to yourself, now, what message am I going to come up with this year? And I will tell you that I have never repeated a holiday message. In fact, I have rarely, if ever, I probably still have enough fingers on both hands to tell you how many times I've ever repeated any message, because I've always been one of those that looks for a fresh word from the Lord. And I feel as if he's given us one today. Well, let's ask the Lord's blessing. We'll be reading the scriptures within my message today. Father God, this weekend reminds us who is king. And while the nations may roar, our God in heaven laughs at their folly. Because we know who the true king is. We know who is the creator. Oh, men debate how this world was created, but we believe by the word of your power, all things have come into existence and that all things hold together because of you. And so there is no question on our minds who created this universe. And there is no question in our minds today who we are called to submit to and subject our lives to. There is no question in our minds today who we are to bow to, for truly Jesus Christ is King. And I just thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, for the truths that it declares, encouraging, at times chastening, teaching, correction, reproof, whatever it is, Lord, we bring ourselves before you, and by the anointing power of the Spirit, believe that we're going to be blessed. As blessed as he who reads and those who hear the words. The whole Bible, because all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Well, Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to ask you, what comes to your mind when you think of Palm Sunday? Do you think of the Lord Jesus riding on a donkey? Do any of you remember coloring or drawing a picture in Sunday school? My donkeys never came out too well. Perhaps you envision the pageantry or the fanfare of a grand parade. Or do you see the palm branches being waved along the road? Of course, I have told you this in the past, that as a child, Palm Sunday was, of course, the day I got to wave my palm branch out the car window on the way home from church and scream and yell at every passerby, "Yay, it's Palm Sunday!" And one year I encouraged the church family to do that going over the causeway. I don't know how that worked out. But the Henderson Bridge has never been the same since. Look, they're tearing it down. Praise the Lord. I imagine, by the way, some people must have looked at me and said, as we were, my dad's car was going by, who in the world is that crazy kid? I'm glad he's not mine. Well, now, those were the good old days. Can I say that? My wife got a little bit older yesterday. She and I are moving up in years finally. Well, the good old days before cell phones and video games stole our children's attention and imagination. Just me and my palm branch waving in the wind. Well, in verses 1 through 6, what Mark records for us is the preparation that was made for the king's coming. Picking up in verse 1, and then as they approached Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt." Of course, we understand that would have been a young donkey from the other scripture text. "You will find a colt tied there on which no one has yet ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it back here. And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. Now, one observation I draw from this passage, it's important, I believe, to see this, is that this preparation that was being made, and I'm going to use a large word here, but it's an important word, that the preparation that was being made was predestined by the Lord Jesus. Why do I use that word? Because it was predestined because Jesus knew that there was a young donkey, a colt, verse 2, predestined because he not only knew about that animal, but he knew, verse 2, in what village that animal was tied. And predestined, too, because he also told his two disciples how they would go about acquiring that animal. It is to say that we do see this in the life of the Lord, that all these details were foreknown to the Lord. And I have to say this, God's knowledge is infinite and beyond measure. And I am reminded of that great verse in Isaiah 55, 9, that declares of God's knowledge, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Therefore, the point being here, it should come as no surprise that what the Lord Jesus said to his two disciples happened exactly the way the Lord said it would. There's the village. Check. There's the colt. Check. Now the conversation granting permission to borrow the animal. Check. What can we conclude? That all these events, I'll say it this way with no apology, occurred within the sovereign providence of God, who gave the Lord's disciples this permission in verse 6. Well, what is to be learned here? What are we to learn about these events? What is it to say about how all this seemed to fall into place? Oh, I'm not just referring to his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I'm saying that everything that occurred, the Lord's arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, why, the very moment of his death was foreordained by God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God did everything with exact precision? I do. I believe that the Lord Jesus came forth from that tomb at that very moment that God had ordained. I believe our Lord is resurrected and seated with his Father. So what do we say about all these events? Because God's plan, and here's where it becomes personal. God's plan to rescue you and me by the precious blood of his Son. All these events happened with exact, precise calculation and precision. And I really enjoyed reading what one preacher had to say about this passage. He said, God established a very firm timetable. By the way, when you believe these things as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it gives you great confidence, doesn't it? It tells you that when things around us may seem out of control, God is still sovereign, providential, and caring for us, walking with us. It is to say that Jesus didn't just wake up one morning after having his bagel and coffee, if he would have done that, and on a whim say to his disciples, "Hey, fellas, I'd like to go on a pony ride today. Where's the traveling circus so I can go ride one?" Well, now that sounds silly, doesn't it? No, the Lord Jesus was fulfilling a heavenly plan, a divine plan. I want you to sense the mission, this mission here, because in his infinite grace and his unbounding mercy, beloved, he had you and me in mind. I'm going to read it. Romans 8, 29 through 39, for whom he foreknew. Do you realize? God, being outside of time and space, has forever known you. Because everything there is to know, God knows. He knows that you will be his child. He has also predestined. Why? To become conformed to the... See, this is the great news. To become conformed into the image of his Son. Wow! God is ultimately going to make you and me just like Jesus. And because of that, he has called us. He has justified us. And he will also glorify us. It is to say that what God has planned, God will bring it to completion. And I have to say, despite the bumps in the road, he's going to bring us there. And listen to me, if you're a child of God, what a blessing that is to know that God is affecting his will and purpose and that you happen to be within that. That should be a cause of rejoicing. Why, as a child of God, we should drink in this truth like it's our own favorite fresh squeezed juice, whatever that is. Because Paul goes on to say, and so what shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. When Satan stands there, and in the Old Testament makes an accusation about Job, God says, I'm going to teach you a lesson. We have today who advocating for us with the Father? The Lord Jesus Christ. And why even the Holy Spirit intercedes for our prayers. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is he who died. Yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For just as it's written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we do what? We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And Paul, I can just imagine the Spirit inspiring these words must have felt called up to the heavenlies when he was writing these things, because this is about us. Imagine that. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved, this was no ordinary donkey ride. This week commenced what would become no ordinary week. I hope you know that. I hope you realize that. I hope as you think upon this week that you're not just the love of God to you, but your own love for God, that it would fill your heart this week, because what transpired by evil men was still accomplishing even God's divine purposes. Foreknown to God the Father from all eternity. It's no wonder, as Paul was wrapping up this great section on God's salvation and sovereignty, our sanctification, he wrote in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord, and who became his counselor, or who first has given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be the glory forever. Amen. I'm telling you that every step that donkey took was fulfilling God's divine plan for you and me. Now, secondly, in verses 7 through the first part of verse 9, a parade of sorts forms to celebrate the king's coming. And picking up in verse 7, we read, and they brought the colt to Jesus and put their garments on it, and he sat upon it. And many spread their garments in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who were going before and those who followed after were crying out. Now, before I read the rest, what emotions or mood do you think the crowd there that was gathered that day was feeling? I was trying to think about some of the words that might describe it. You helped me. Celebration, jubilation, excitement, joy. You think there was laughter? Anticipation, rejoicing. You probably all recall in history that warrior kings, when they came into a great city, they paraded on stallions. But the Prince of Peace came riding on the foal of an ass. And dare I say, the Lord Jesus didn't come, if I can be relevant to today, he didn't come to use chemical weapons against his own people, as in Syria. The Lord didn't come to launch intercontinental nuclear warheads, as North Korea seeks to do. But Jesus rode on a young donkey for what the world really needed, what every man, woman, boy, and girl needs, and that is to be reconciled with God by faith alone, in Christ alone, by God's grace alone. May I venture this? May I dare say this? What a privilege it would have been that day for me to have taken this jacket off, to remove this suit jacket, what we refer to as our Sunday best. Do you remember that back in the day? Your Sunday best, whatever that was. But you see this one coming and you're compelled. Ladies, your favorite sweater, your favorite overcoat. But because the one is coming and you're so overwhelmed by love, maybe your favorite scarf, as I see one here this morning. And you put it in the road, on that dusty, dirty road. Why? Because the Lord is coming. And I'll tell you, in that moment, on that grand occasion, Jerusalem tasted the sweet nectar of the Savior's coming. But Jerusalem also had a questionable reputation. They were known to God as a stubborn and obstinate people. And yet in this moment, this good moment, they were running about like little children. That's how I see it. Crying out in celebration of the Messiah's coming. It reminds me of the day that when King David, do you remember in the Old Testament when King David, when they were bringing the ark into the city, how he danced before the Lord? O Israel, behold your king. And when Jesus came into the streets of Jerusalem, it was fulfilling a messianic prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey. For surely, I think Psalm 24 verse 7 through 10 was being fulfilled. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Who would ever imagine that in just a few days or so, the mood could so quickly change, and that the one that here they celebrate is also the one that they will ridicule and scorn. Well, now in the second half of verse 9 and 10, there is the presentation of the messianic blessing, because it announces the king's arrival. What did they cry out? Look at the second half of verse 9. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. That almost sounds like Christmas time, but it's not. It's Palm Sunday. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but when I read a scripture, and I guess with years and hymn singing, green hymn books, and whatever other colors I've used over the years, I think of that song that we sang. Oh, worship the King. all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. I don't know how on earth you get better poetry than that that is so theologically correct. What was the crowd on Jerusalem streets doing? They were celebrating the Lord Jesus' arrival. Whether they understood it or not, they were announcing their King, their Messiah, their Lord had come. And oh, Jesus, He had His enemies, but Jesus also had many followers. He had followers who came from family and friends and neighbors who had been touched by His healing power. Because do you remember the thousands that came out to Him as He went from city to city and heard Him preach and teach and were overwhelmed and all inspired by Him? Verse 9, by the way, where we read that word Hosanna, do you remember what that word means? It's actually taking together a number of Hebrew words that comes from Psalm 118, verse 25. It's this phrase, O Lord, do save. Savior. In fact, their greeting to the Lord, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, was something that they would have said to people coming to the city of Jerusalem on a pilgrimage to worship at the temple of God. In Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26, we read, O Lord, do save, we beseech Thee. O Lord, send us prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed You from the house of the Lord. Notice there in verse 10, who did they associate the Lord's coming with? With King David and his kingdom. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Whether they understood it or not, they were declaring the Lord's own lineage. Jesus Christ was a descendant of King David. He was a rightful heir to the throne. And their cry also referred back to a very ancient covenant, a pact, a contract, a decree, a promise, an unconditional promise that God had made to King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where He told David, you will have an heir on your throne, and it will be forever, forever. And none of the kings since David were ever, forever kings. But we know who that king is, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then the parade ended. The excitement of the moment faded and the people retrieved, I imagine, their garments from the dusty road, some returning to their own homes. The Messiah had come. King Jesus had arrived. And maybe for just a brief moment, it seemed as if the children of Israel were ready to receive Him. And perhaps some were, maybe even a few. But you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be what? Disappointed. I tell people, there is no disappointment when it comes to believing in Jesus Christ. God doesn't disappoint. And God tells us why there's not even a distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon Him. For whoever, or as some have said to me and reminded me, and I love it, not just whoever, but for whosoever, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday's a happy day. It is. It's a happy day. And next Sunday will be as well, because we'll be celebrating our Lord's resurrection. But I'll say this, Palm Sunday is even a happier day if when you think about that parade that happened on Jerusalem streets, that person who rode on that donkey, if he is today your Lord and Savior. I don't always assume what everyone's spiritual condition is. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I do know one thing. God sees your heart. God knows what's in your soul and your spirit. God knows what's in your very being. What I ask you this weekend, when God looks into you, Does he see someone as Jesus described in John chapter 3 as born again? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? The Bible says what? With the heart, a person believes, resulting in what? Righteousness. Has to come from the heart, doesn't it? And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. It is to say that what is true on the inside first will then be witnessed to by what proceeds on the outside. Do you know with absolute certainty this weekend whether or not you're a child of God? What was the invitation of Scripture that I read? It said what? Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be, say it with me, church, saved, saved. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for our sins. And Lord God, if there's anyone here today who has never repented of their sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus as his or her Savior, that even right now, that person will call upon the name of the Lord and say, Father, please forgive me and save me. And for those of us who know you, Lord, we know that that parade eventually led to the cross and in victory to the empty tomb. And we know this as well, Lord, that a day is coming when this world is once again, but this time going to witness the grandest, the greatest parade this universe will ever see when Jesus Christ comes back. We give you all the praise and the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.